from Revelations. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let everyone who hears say, come, and let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, the grace of Lord Jesus be with you and with all the saints. Amen.
Thank you for the reading, Ed. Before we listen to God's message to us this morning, I invite you to pray with me as we ask for the Spirit to open our lives and our hearts to receive God's message. Let us pray together. Lord God Almighty, we indeed thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Everything we have is a gift from you, even the next breath we take. So thank you for bringing us together here this morning to be in worship, to honor you and glorify you through song, to confess our sins to you and receive your words of assurance and forgiveness, to be able to listen to your word and hear a message so that we can reflect on it and make it our own. Thank you, God, that you speak to us in many different ways, but none more specific than through your word, which is alive. And so today I know that we are all here for a particular reason. And maybe we don't even know why you brought us here. But I do believe, God, that you have a purpose for each and every one of us. And you have a reason why you put it in someone's heart to be in worship here this morning. And so I pray that they will be open and willing to have your Spirit work in their hearts and their lives. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So like I said with the children's message, I think we all like to be rewarded, you know, in one way or another. You work hard and you feel you need to get something for your effort, right? You go to the office every day or to your job and you want that to pay off in some way. When you achieve something, you love to be recognized for that, especially if it's in cold, hard cash. You know, that enhances your financial opportunities. And that's why the business world is deep into loyalty programs. Did you know that 90% of companies have some sort of rewards program? All major airlines, hotel chains, I mean, they all tout their own loyalty plans. Fly X number of miles with us and get a free flight anywhere in the continental USA. Or you can find rewards for buying things, you know, even necessities. For instance, buy groceries at Costco and get cash off your next gas purchase. Or buy three grande vanilla lattes with soy milk at Starbucks and, you know, maybe get the fourth one for free. I don't know. But just out of curiosity, I mean, how many of you are enrolled in some kind of rewards program? Yeah, basically everybody. Well, you know, not all programs or loyalty programs are the same. They're not all created equally, but most of them fall into four types. They are points-based rewards. There are tiered rewards. There are page rewards. And there are also value rewards. Now, in our text for today, we find some of Jesus' last words to the church. It comes at the end of a biblical revelation. It's in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. And in these words, Jesus explicitly mentions a ceremony in which rewards will be distributed to loyal consumers, for those who have been flying with Jesus. And he says in verse 12, "See, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work." It says, "When I come, I will reward everyone for what they have done. I will bring my reward with me, and I will repay each one of you for what you have done." So let's look at some loyalty or rewards programs today and see which ones apply to us. And the first one is what is called points-based rewards. A points-based reward loyalty program is the most common and perhaps the most popular of the rewards programs. A company like Expedia, for instance, uses it, as well as United Airlines and a host of other major business enterprises. The idea is the more you use the product, the more points you accumulate. Points that can be used for free hotel stays or for another flight, for example. Now in this text, like I mentioned to you, we have the last words of Jesus to the church. And the first thing he says is something about rewards. He says, "I'm coming soon. I will bring my rewards with me to give to each one according to what he has done." Now rewards, by definition, are favors or perks bestowed based on performance. So what Jesus is basically saying is that his rewards program is based on what we have done. It's based on everyone's work, says the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. And so it would appear that some tallying system is in place in the marketing department of heaven whereby points accumulate for each one of us. And these points are directly tied to our work on earth, to what we do or to what we have done, our deeds, our life's work. We don't know what the nature of these rewards are, but we do know, based on the words of our Lord himself, that the rewards are coming. And this is not an isolated statement by Jesus here in Revelation, by the way. He says the same thing in Matthew. "The Son of Man will soon come in the glory of his Father and with his angels to reward all people for what they have done." The Apostle Paul writes about this to the Corinthian church. "For all of us must appear before Christ to be judged by him. We will receive, each one of us, what we deserve according to everything we have done, good or bad, in our bodily life." John, in his second letter, says, "Be careful. Be careful yourselves that you do not lose everything you have worked for, but that you receive your full reward." And it says in the book of Romans, "God will reward or punish every person for what that person has done." Now those who work on incentive programs for the public ask the following question: will this points-based program attract and keep customers? Because that's their goal, to attract and to keep customers. And so if you apply this query or this question to the flight towards your future heavenly home, how would you respond? Does the promise of that reward, which is not identified yet, by the way, that we're not sure of what it will be, does that reward encourage you to be faithful in your work and service while you are here on earth? And if not, perhaps you might be interested in a different program. Because there's also what is called tiered rewards. And this kind of loyalty program is a type of membership that offers customers different benefits depending on their rank or their value of the reward. And so these rewards give customers a goal. The higher your tier, the more exclusive and valuable the rewards. And Jesus seems to indicate that some rewards will be greater than others. And he's speaking to, you know, the farmers and the townspeople in the area of Tiberias when he says in his Sermon on the Mount, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you. Because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Jesus could have said that those who are persecuted and reviled will receive an unspecified reward on Judgment Day, but instead, he explicitly says that the reward will be a tier above, a step above, a reward unlike the typical reward received by those who have been faithful and remained faithful. And throughout Scripture, this reward seems to be linked to suffering, to suffering. Those who undergo suffering for Jesus' sake are ipso facto members of a unique club. And to these sufferers, Jesus says he will offer crowns. And there are several tiers or types of crowns. There's the imperishable crown, a reward that never disappears and lasts for eternity. There's the crown of rejoicing. Some Bible teachers call this the soul winner's crown, for those who win others to Jesus. The Apostle Paul expected the Thessalonian church to be his crown of rejoicing when he gets in line to receive his reward. There's the crown of righteousness. Paul says in 2 Timothy, I fought the good fight. I finished the race and I've kept the faith. And from now on there's reserved for me the crown of righteousness. I will receive a crown for pleasing the Lord and for staying faithful, he says. Peter says there's the crown of glory. He says when Christ returns, he will give you a crown that will never lose its glory. And there's also the crown of life. James says those who remain faithful under trials will receive as their reward the life which God has promised to those who love Him. Special rewards or crowns for those who suffer and remain faithful to Christ. Then there's also what is called paid rewards. You pay a fee to belong to a club, and you get some rewards for that. You get immediate and ongoing benefits for a participation fee like Amazon Prime. You pay a yearly fee and you get the benefit of free 2-day shipping or access to Prime Video or whatever. So in the early 1500s, there was a Dominican monk by the name of Johann Tetzel. And he used to wander from village to hamlet in rural Germany, selling indulgences. He would set up a theatrical stage and urge the common people to buy the indulgences to get their relatives out of purgatory. Or in some cases, they could prepay for their own sins. And he had a little jingle that was so popular, it caught the attention of Martin Luther at the time. When the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. Now, I don't want to disappoint you in anything, but in the Reformed faith, there's no such thing as purgatory. And it definitely doesn't work this way in God's kingdom. Paid rewards is the one loyalty program that Jesus does not offer. Okay? Jesus is not going to pay for your your loyalty. And you cannot pay for better customer service either. Or for a bigger mansion in glory, or for the best rewards once you meet your Maker. Because you see, entrance into heaven is solely a faith-based, grace-driven gesture originating in the heart of God. Any rewards that are offered to those who are already working for the Lord are also offered according to the grace of God, who doesn't need to offer any rewards at all. And so the bottom line is, you cannot buy a reward in God's kingdom. We cannot offer our influence or our financial portfolio or even our good works in order to get in line for rewards in heaven. We're not saved by our works, okay? But because we are saved by grace, through faith, we are rewarded for our works. Because we are saved, we are rewarded for our works. And rewards are initiated by God. God offers what God offers. God is not compelled to do anything. And so we receive our reward according to our works by the grace and only the grace of God. And finally, there is what's called value rewards. And the idea behind, you know, value-based loyalty programs is to connect with customers on a deeper level. It involves donating a percentage of purchases to charity or welfare programs. And a company can offer you multiple options for different charities to choose from, or they might have one that genuinely aligns with their customers' values. And so this program doesn't actually reward customers, but it holds a special place for them as the rewards are used to benefit society. For example, Sephora lets members donate their reward points to the National Black Justice Coalition, for one example. And so this value rewards program with this, you know, specific type of customer reminds me of those who labor in the vineyards of the Lord. Those who are involved in ministry in the name of Jesus, and they don't do it for financial compensation. They toil and work in their corner of the world for no other reason than to improve the lot of their fellow humans. They're involved in and they minister in local congregations, not for their own recognition, but for the sake of God's kingdom. And what motivates them to say to serve Jesus is not money or anything, but it is love and gratitude. And so I'm talking about the nameless and the faceless who serve God in anonymity in soup kitchens and food distributions and Sunday schools and children's choirs and hospitals. Children of God who model altruism and self-sacrifice at its finest, and they seek no reward for it. And in so doing, they may be in line for the greatest rewards of all. And so that's God's rewards program for what we can learn from Scripture. But we need to read the fine print. And so here's the fine print. This topic of rewards in heaven is a gray area, okay? And different theologians will have different views on how to understand all of this. And there's a lot of uncertainty about it. There's not much that we know for certain except that there will be a reward for God's faithful. And so at the very least, this idea of reward should give those of us who say we are Christians some pause and cause us to ask ourselves, well, how loyal have I been? How faithful have I been to God and to Jesus Christ and what I have done with my life? What is the value, you know, of the work I do or I have done for the sake of God's kingdom? And what will my final evaluation look like? The Apostle Paul talks about this in his first letter to the Corinthian church. And he says in chapter 3, if what was built on the foundation survives the fire, the builder will receive a reward. But if your work is burnt up, then you will lose it. But you yourself will be saved, as if you had escaped through the fire. Let me put it this way. You see, those of us who believe are God's house. And this house has only one foundation, which has already been laid. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And so each one of us is like a carpenter who needs to build on the foundation. And we need to take particular care in picking out our building materials. Because eventually there's going to be an inspection, and if you use cheap or inferior materials, then you will be found out. And the inspection will be thorough and it will be rigorous. And you won't get by with a thing. And if your work passes inspection, great, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and started over. But as a believer, you won't be torn out. You will survive, but just barely. And so what Paul is saying here is a sobering thought. He knows that there are many Christians who will stand in line at Judgment Day with very little to show for the time that they've spent on earth, for what they managed to build on the foundation of Christ. It says the builder will be saved. You will be saved, but as you had escaped through fire. In other words, like a person fleeing from a burning building, he or she will have nothing more than the smoking clothes upon their backs. But you will make it. So the message is that we can do better than this. We can do better than only surviving, or simply wasting our time and our resources and lives on things that really don't matter in the grander scheme of things. We can build now on a solid foundation with our eyes on eternity. And someday, we may hear our Lord say, "Wonderful, wonderful. You are a good and faithful servant. I left you in charge of only a little, but now I will put you in charge of much more. Come and share in my happiness." Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you that those who belong to you will be rewarded for their faith. I pray that those who believe in your Son Jesus will build on the solid foundation that he has laid, that we will toil and work for your kingdom in what we do with our lives on this side of eternity. Lord, we know that we are not saved by what we do, by our works. We're saved only by your grace, by having faith in you. But our works follow on being saved, on living a life filled with gratitude, a life filled with love for you and for other people. That's why we do good in this world and in the church. And thank you that is not going unseen, that you take notice of everything we do and that you will reward us for our goodness and for what we do for your kingdom on this side of eternity. We pray that your Spirit will empower us and give us this perspective and enable us to work for the sake of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen.